Good morning again to everyone. It is an absolute joy to see all of you here. This second day, the second Sunday of Lent, and the sun is shining, and it just feels more joyful, doesn't it, when the sun is out. I don't have my bulletin to go over. Daylight savings begins on March 12th. That's something to remember. We're still collecting. I think we're going to collect for the hygiene kit until March 26th, and then we'll take them over to the center and MCC. And then please plan on coming on Wednesday, March 22nd for the 7 p.m. service for Lent. Sandy Drescher Lehman will be sharing the message that evening. And MCC Canning is still on the calendar for March 29th. Are there any other announcements that I maybe?
I do.
Okay.
Thank you to, a huge shout out to Eloise for all the work that she does to keep the worship team organized. Mm-hmm. And Kathy, your word last week with, you know, how you've been singing some of the songs throughout the week, that she's been awesome. So we met at the worship team last week as our normal meeting, and we were talking about needing to update our stuff. So thank you to Eloise for keeping us organized, and thanks to technology, I put together the idea team to hand out to each person a song book that can go home with you guys.
Oh, nice.
And see it in your, you know, devotionals or whatever. And, you know, like Eloise sings a song every morning. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's a song in here that you want us to sing. Write it down. Email Eloise. Text Eloise. And we'll get it on the worship list, because that makes planning a whole lot easier for all
I love
of
it.
Us when we know that we're singing songs that mm-hmm. you guys want to sing, not just songs that work with me.
Right.
So I'm going to put these back there, and we will update this also. That hopefully I'll finish that project this week. But yeah, Eloise does a great job of keeping us organized.
Good.
It took a little time, but I figured it out, so I'm pretty proud of myself there. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I know Mary's put a lot of books together directly in the book, and sometimes you realize, like, wait a minute, that's just not working. How does it work?
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I get it. But that's a wonderful idea.
That's
very nice.
When it came together. So they will be back in the back. There's a variety of colors. I tried to pick, you know, some different colors, so it'll be bright and bold. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely we appreciate your songs every week.
Very nice. Very nice. And think about what Matt said. He changed the channel to get out of the craziness of the world and turned on a Christian station. Well, turn off the TV and read from your songbook. See what changes this week for you. Very nice. Thank you so much. Let us pray. We thank you for this time to come together before God and to worship you and give thanks for watching over us now and always. At this time, we become paralyzed. At times, we become paralyzed by doubts. We feel dead in our stubbornness and guilt, and we walk in blindness. And our hearts are hardened to your love. But we know our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and we ask for new birth, dear Lord. At this time, we sit quietly to confess our sins and to lay our lives before you. Jesus, you have come to put the world right, to give life back to the dead, and to call into existence a people born from above. Break in by your creating spirit and send forth your fresh wind and open the way to real life, eternal life. In your name, amen. When we are in a good place, boy, the world just seems wonderful. Skies have been beautiful lately. Everything is turning green once again. You notice people helping other people. You notice people smiling in the grocery store. In moments, in this place, right here, we can look around and see things and people that we are oh so thankful for. But then, because we live in this world, we know that sin is out there. There is sickness, there is tragedy, there is sadness. Even just thinking of that can raise our heart rates. Why is it easy for us to be so drawn to the negative side of things? Perhaps when promises are broken, or we feel that people aren't stepping up to their jobs, perhaps that is a reason why. Many times I have found myself saying, oh my goodness, how can people live in this world without God? When my children were sick, when my marriage was deteriorating, when I felt like all this testing in the school wasn't really benefiting these 5-year-old children who were coming to school stressed about testing. How can people live in this world without God? The verses this morning bring to light the life-giving belief that God is able to fulfill his promises. When we read the Bible, we know what his promises are. And that believing is the means for sharing in God's righteousness. Matthew Henry wrote, "Remember that righteousness is also more than the absence of evil and guilt. It is a positive good, meaning that God does not only declare us innocent, but righteous. God uses honorable people to fulfill his promises. And we learn how God uses people for his good when we read the Bible. We learn how he can use us. Is he using you? Are you willing to be used by God? Are you listening for and open to the call of believing and helping others? Genesis 12, verses 1, I think I wrote 4, but I'm going to read through 5a. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. That's a big move. When I read from Romans, I'm going to be reading from Romans 4, we learn about his faith. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of the Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about, but that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteousness because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something that they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Moving on in Romans 4 to verse 13. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment to those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, or if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scripture means when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. God brings new birth. Abram believed that God would call on himself and his people to fulfill the promises, and he knew God's promises were for future generations. Abraham listened for God and heard his voice. Perhaps this week, as you're reading through the song booklet, some of you will hear God's voice reaching out to you. At 75 years old, Abraham was told to pick up his family and to move. God promises Abraham blessing with a great nation. He would bless Abraham with a great name, and those who bless Abraham would be blessed. God promised that all the people on earth would be blessed through Abraham. It's a lot for a person to be carrying on their shoulders. Abraham was a faithful man. It is written that Abraham was perfect in all of his deeds, even before they were written down. God was watching. He knew this. Sarah, Abraham's wife, had been barren for all their years of marriage, so it was with great faith that Abraham would move, knowing that he would one day have a child. He held on to that promise. And Isaac would be born when Abraham turned 100 years old. The meaning of Isaac is laughter. And I can only imagine their joy and laughter when Sarah found out that she was pregnant, let alone their joy and laughter when their new son arrived. The anticipation and love grew. The anticipation and love grew for this child for years before he was even born. How I love sitting and chatting with the believer who is filled with that anticipation of what is coming. You see it, you hear it, you feel it when you're conversing with them. It's kind of not, well, I was going to go to the marshmallow example of last week. You get one now, but if you wait, if you're patient, the good things will be coming later on. We did a marshmallow experiment with some volunteers, I was going to say with the kids last week. Well, we're all kids, right? Holding on to that anticipation, just recognizing his love, his joy. It's comforting to know that God keeps his promises. God can do anything. We know that sin has entered the world from the beginning at the Garden of Eden. And from then on, God has been rescuing his people. Perhaps Abraham needed the encouragement of amazing promises that he would have a child, that he would be in charge of a nation. Perhaps he needed those promises to know that his family would be blessed. But I believe Abraham, with or without those promises, would have moved on taking the next right step, because God was in his heart. Abraham did not know exactly how God was going to fulfill his promise, but he trusted God's plan. Abraham at the time had no idea that Jesus would be born of his family lineage. This is a quote from theologian Charles Spurgeon. "All true believers, like Abraham, obey. Obedience is faith in action. You are to walk in the steps of the faith of Father Abraham. His faith did not sit still. It took steps. And you must take these steps also by obeying God because you believe in him. That faith which has no works with it is a dead faith and will justify no one. Jeff, if we could get that cartoon up on the screen. When I saw this is how your light changes the world. I was thinking of Abraham, right? He had God in his heart, and he continued to take the next right step forward. He may have had some bad days, but I bet most of his days were good because of his faith. And then what happens? Those around him saw the goodness. They saw God's love. They saw God's promises. And then more people saw it. And more people saw it. His light, his love from the Lord changed this world. It's all written in the Bible. We all have the opportunity to be this light. Sometimes it's hard. But with God as your Father, it is able. We are all able to love him and to take the next right step and to be the light shining in this world. This happens here every Sunday. Every Sunday. It's my prayer that you take that light home with you. It becomes a natural step in one's faith to believe. Once you make the commitment to follow Jesus, you learn more about him. It then becomes natural for you to serve and help others. In Romans 4, Paul seeks to further show that it was not Abraham's work that made him righteous before God, but his faith. This was against the traditional Jewish belief. They had been teaching that obedience to the law determined one's relationship to God. And there are some Christian churches that believe the more money you give, the more you're going to be blessed. The more you come to volunteer, the more you're going to be blessed. They've missed the point. We are blessed by God's love. Righteousness cannot be earned. It is a gift from God. It is a gift of God. It's offered to every person. Our Lord has no moral obligation to provide compensation for any services rendered. We are saved when God chooses to save us. All we need to do is to respond to his love. Say yes to his promises. Let his love flow upon you. His grace undoes our unrighteousness. I mentioned this last week, looking at a video of the tragedy with the drug addiction in Kensington. My heart just aches when I see those people that are suffering from addiction. They have God, but they have not yet chosen to follow him. God is able to undo any unrighteousness in your life. Myers writes about grace, that grace is God's unmerited favor toward humanity and especially his people, realized through the covenant and fulfillment through Jesus Christ. All can be forgiven. Our faith does not save us, but allows us access to the gift of saving grace. Abraham, of course, did not live to see all of the promises fulfilled. He did see his son born. He knew that God would never abandon him. He knew those promises would be fulfilled, and they were. And Paul writes to the church, for both the Jews and the Gentiles, he wants them to know that Abraham is the father of all of us. God provides us with the gift of the Spirit. Even though we all sin, we are shown mercy. The gift of the Spirit is yours. Recognize it. God justifies the godly and the ungodly. That's so hard sometimes to even fathom because of his death on the cross. Justification occurs to the godly and the ungodly. God is able to defend them all. This is done because of Jesus and his love for all of us. Believing in Jesus is transformative. We are called born again. John 3:3 calls it being born from above. We are different. We are new. As reborn people, our view of the world can change. As we take each step forward with patience, love, joy, kindness, and goodness, and peacefulness, the world changes. Jesus guides us into a direction, into a direct and personal relationship with God. When you feel it, you know it, you have it. Do what you can to hold on to it. Read the Bible. Call and surround yourself with Christian friends. Serve others. Hold on to that goodness. God brings new life. Christian obedience demonstrates trust and hope in our God. We can all think of that one or two or maybe three people, if you're really blessed, that demonstrated the hope in their hope in God so faithfully. Might be your mom and dad, your grandparents, one of your teachers, your spouse, one of your kids, a neighbor. You know who that person is or those people are. They radiate with God's love. And it's a blessing to have them in your life. But you need to know that you are a blessing in their lives as well. You are shining with God's love. You have been born again. Share that news. We are the beneficiaries of those who have gone before us, those who believed, those who were virtuous, moral, honest, upright, and honorable. My dad is extremely honorable. How blessed I am to have that in my life and to be able to talk about God with him. If you haven't talked about God with those people or those around you, go ahead and do it. You be that shining light for them. And we have an obligation of faith and sharing this new birth, this joy that is within each of us, this light. We have an obligation of faith and sharing of new birth to those who follow. Let us pray. May the Lord watch over each of you. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will bring you to life and carry you safely home. May we go in peace and have a week filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and a sense of rebirth in your love, dear Lord. In your precious name, amen.